In the 3 o'clock hour on Fridays, we talk to a Steelers Super Bowl champion from CBS Sports, BMAC, Brian McFadden, back with us. And I took his advice. I went to Vegas, but I didn't go to the game. And the Steelers came away with a win. And now, a few days later after that win by 19 points, they are making a quarterback change. The source, George Pickens. After Mike Tomlin said, "We're keeping it in-house," he immediately ran out of the house and screamed, "Hear ye, hear ye. We're going with Russell Wilson on Sunday." Brian, along those lines on that one, you played for Mike Tomlin. Would that piss him off that a player would go do that right after he said it's in-house?
I'll say this. It would definitely piss him off if he made it known to the entire team at some point during the week to keep everything internal about positional changes, right? So if he made that known, if he made that a prerequisite the week of, and George came out and said that, no question he'd be highly pissed.
And that is something he would do? Would he say to you guys, "Hey, we're not talking about
this, this, or this,
starting players and things of that nature with the media"?
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you guys think about it, if you just think about the Pittsburgh way, we've always kept things internal. We've never been an organization similar to the New England Patriots where you don't really get a lot out of the building getting ready for upcoming ball games. So that's always kind of been a Steelers way. And in past dealings, of course, you know, he's made it known about certain things and how to handle certain things with the media when it comes to injuries, you know, when it comes to positional changes. So if he made that known this week, knowing that Russell was cleared to kind of keep everything in-house, and GP came out and said that, I think he would be highly pissed.
No honestly, question. Though, I can't even get that mad at Pickens. Russ talked like he was obviously starting. Dan Moore told, like, ran his mouth and said he got Russ got first team reps. Fields yesterday sounded obviously like a guy who had been given the bad news that he was getting sent back to the bench. Like, if Mike's mad at Pickens, like, he got to be mad at everybody else that made it very obvious who was starting the whole week.
Yeah, but to your point, they kind of gave us indications, but it was nothing confirmed. Because even when I heard Russ was taking reps with the ones, I never heard that he took all the reps. You know, it was almost like I was under the assumption, like, yeah, Russ got some reps with the ones, but Fields also got some reps here or there, depending on, you know, the situational period during that prep, during that practice. So the confirmation came just now, a few hours ago. That was a legit confirmation. Even everything else that was said was kind of making us assume more so than not.
How do you feel about the change, BMAC?
Well, number one, being around Coach T, you trust his football intellect, his football judgment, and clearly he has a plan in place. And he made this move feeling like Russ can continue to keep the boat afloat. But personally, when you just look at the rhythm, football is all about rhythm. You know, when you have chemistry going in a direction, when you have rhythm going in a direction, it's kind of hard to kind of change the pace of that. You know, if you look at what happened last year towards the latter part of the season, when Mason Rudolph jumped into the lineup when Kenny was injured, the offense looked different. We were winning ball games. When Kenny was cleared to participate, he didn't get back into that starting job. So we have to wait and see how it plays out. But being 4-2, having our first 30-point game of the season a week ago, seemed like Justin was really getting acclimated, and now he's out of the lineup, it caused reasons to be concerned from the outside looking in.
BMAC, fact or fiction, Russell Wilson is better at processing defenses than Justin Fields, should make
facts,
better decisions.
Facts.
Fact or fiction, you expect Russell Wilson to be better at throwing the ball deep downfield than Justin Fields?
Facts.
Fact or fiction, Russ is basically a sitting duck back there physically in terms of his mobility compared to Fields?
Well, I wouldn't say sitting duck.
That would be fiction then, right?
Yeah, he's not a sitting duck. So that's fiction.
All right, then I asked you the first one, and that was the one I wanted to know the most about. Try to explain this to me, because I've had a hard time. I think Fields should be playing this week as the starter. I have a hard time reconciling people objectively saying, hey, Russ is much better still at reading what the defense is doing and accepting what they're doing and then, you know, making the right play based off of that. Yep. But in my mind, that should manifest itself in the ball is getting out quicker, and he takes a very long time to get rid of the football, or at least he did last year, so I can't square those two things, and I'm wondering if you can help me figure out why he might be seeing the defense more clearly but still not getting rid of the ball very quickly.
Okay, the thing about Russ with his experience and his football IQ at the quarterback position, he's able to process well. And that's no knock on Justin Fields, first and foremost, for our listeners tuning in. There's no knock on him saying that he doesn't process well. He just doesn't process as fast as a guy like Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell's been in the league for double-digit years. You know, he's did a lot. But when you talk about holding the football, even though he's a quick processor, the reason why is because Russell does not want to force turnovers. So even if you process the field well, you understand pre-snap alignment, what the defense is giving you. In the flow of the play, you still know where the zone droppers are going, and you know where your guy is going. He would hold on to the football if there's not a window to throw the football. Because if you force the football in the window that's not there, you're going to create turnovers eventually. So that answers your concern about holding the football long, even though he's a quick processor. Yeah. He's going to hold on to it if there's no window or there's no separation to throw the football, which you would take, because the curse of that would be if he's processing well and he's getting the football out of his hands fast, but there's no window, guess what happens? Then we all would complain about the untimely turnovers.
B-Mac, how do we match up with their receivers now that they've got Davante Adams? They got Adams and Wilson, and Rodgers looked better on Monday night against the Bills. So if you were take us in those defensive meeting rooms, what do you think they're saying about these two Jets weapons now?
We match up well because, yes, Davante has played this season, but he's been out for a few weeks, and he has some familiarity when it comes to Nathaniel Hackett is not calling the plays anymore, but when it comes to the quarterback, but this is a new playbook, mm-hmm. right? And then secondly, with Garrett Wilson, he's just had his emergence of a game a week ago. So we match up well because of we have dudes in the back end that's playing with a lot of confidence right now. When you look at Jackson, I mean, kudos to Omar and making that deal happen, because we have really benefited from having him in the
now,
lineup.
Now, that's interesting, because a lot of Steelers fans say that's a bad trade because we gave up Diontae Johnson in that deal. So tell everybody why that was a good deal.
Jackson is top three in the NFL in interceptions.
Yes.
He's been creating turnovers. He's doing a great job in coverage. And when you pair him up opposite of what we have in Joey Porter Jr., you got to like that duo, especially in a division where we're playing against high-level quarterbacks. So no question for the fans that feel like we lost that deal. No, we won that deal, and we're 4-2. What is Carolina's record?
Ass.
All right, so Diontae hasn't helped them that much, right?
He's also banged up, I guess, apparently. I mean, he would solve the second wide receiver problem, though, for people
that
would play
devil's advocate. But then we'd have a quarterback problem, Mulsey. We still have a quarter issue.
And to your point about solving the second wide receiver problem, we're still winning ball games. And our offense, even though we had two high-level wide receivers a year ago with Diontae and George, our offense looks better this year.
Agreed. It's scoring more points. Right. Do you think that, speaking of corners and your bread and butter, you think Sauce Gardner can put George Pickens in a straitjacket? And if he does, are we screwed?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a cornerback that can put George Pickens in a straitjacket, because he is him. The guy is super gifted athletically. When he was born, God made him born to play wide receiver, nothing else. He just has a God-given ability. The issue is we got to get real funky with our offensive strategy and moving him around and getting the football into his hands and getting him targets. That's the issue. When it comes to if George Pickens is going to get targets and he knows it, I don't think there's a guy that can stop him. Remember some of the successful plays he had against Pat Surtain, who is the number one corner in the National Football League right now?
Yes, now some of them were called back by penalties that had nothing to do with him, but yes, we did watch him make plays on him.
Yes, yes. So no one is playing it better at cornerback than Pat Surtain Jr. Nobody. Everybody who he's been covering, he's been putting the handcuffs on. But to your point, George Pickens had successful reps against him that was unfortunately called back. In a one-on-one opportunity, George Pickens can give you he can give you Justin Jefferson-ish. It's just that, unfortunately, he's been handicapped because our offense doesn't cater to that style of play when it comes to throwing football and when it comes to moving him around and getting him targets.
Give us the player to watch on offense and defense in this game.
Wow, that's a great question. All right. I'll go the duo of Najee and Jaylen Warren.
Okay.
A player to watch. Players to watch. And the reason why I'm saying that, guys, listeners, because the Jets' defense, they're vulnerable to running the football. They have holes in their defense. When you look at how they play lack of gap integrity, when you look at so many guys that's trying to rush the passer and just running by the football, if we can run the football, similar to what you saw what Buffalo did with Ray Davis making his first start, if we can run the football, we're going to be successful Sunday night. And remember, the last Sunday night game that we had, against Dallas, we did not run the football well. That hurt our chances of being productive offensively. So my players to watch, Najee Harris, run it back again. Run it back, my boy. Run it back another great game like you did against the Raiders. And let's get the microwave going in Jaylen Warren as well, who heats up quick.
Defense?
Watch.
Yeah.
Highsmith. We got Highsmith back, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, boy. My hands are itching right now because I know something good going to happen. Yes, sir. Watt and Highsmith, and you remember you asked me how will our guys in the secondary pair up with their wide receivers? Pair up nicely because we have dudes, but it also helps when you got T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith rushing Aaron Rodgers. And, guys, you guys been watching Aaron Rodgers. He's not the mobile quarterback that he once was, either because of age or the injury, but he's kind of a lame duck in the pocket at times as well. So that
and probably all the offseason weirdness that's going on with him with the isolation retreats and therapeutic vomiting and all that stuff. I don't know how much that helps with mobility.
Well, whatever it is, I hope he's not mobile Sunday night so we can go ahead and have a field day and collapse in the pocket.
B-Mac, we'll talk to you.
Give me Watt and Highsmith.
We'll talk again next week. Thank you, B-Mac.
Hey, Pony, make sure you stay home. Don't go anywhere close to Acushnet Stadium on Sunday, please.
Gotcha. I won't. Thank you.
Thank you, B-Mac.
Brian McFadden. Yep. Darnell has been waiting on hold. Hello, Darnell.
Hey, how y'all doing? I think a lot of y'all are going to have egg on y'all face come Monday morning because I don't know why y'all are putting so much stock into Justin Fields. I mean, the guy couldn't find an open receiver in the middle of the field if he looked like an open window emoji. I mean, this guy, he's taking
off. There's an open window emoji?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it out on the fly. But
Darnell, you must have missed the Chargers game, Darnell.
You know he's completed 66% of his passes this year, right?
You must have missed the second half against the Colts, Darnell.
Oh, y'all must have missed all of those open receivers who was in the middle, who he missed, or he never threw to him and just took off running.
Darnell, how about this? If he throws for 300 yards and the Steelers win, talking about Russell Wilson, I will let you come down to our station and take an egg and smash it on my face. So you will have the image of me literally having egg on my face, okay?
Hey, look. I'm looking forward to it. Monday morning, you all are going to be saying, in the Steelers Nation, you're going to be saying, let's roll.
Let's ride.
That was good, though. Where did egg on the face come from? Who was taking egg and just getting it on their face and like, damn it, I got egg on my face again.
I feel like I have an
egg
idea.
Egg on my face once again.
I got an idea.
Why does this keep happening to me with eggs?
Don't you think it has to go back to the early days of theater and like the Shakespearean era, and they're just pelting people with rotten tomatoes and eggs when they didn't like the performance?
Well, the tomatoes thing I knew about throwing tomatoes after a bad show, but they were getting eggs? I mean, that could have spread salmonella. Exactly.
Oh, and those people didn't have modern medicine. They were just getting out of the Black Plague.
All right, so there's a guy saying everyone that is calling out Russell Wilson is going to regret it because the guy is going to have a monster game on Sunday. Is that how you feel? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. We'll get some of your calls. And we want you to hear some audio. Is there a Steelers coach who is distancing himself from this quarterback decision? You'll hear that. We'll let you know what we think. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 handle that. Timeout. We're right back. It's the PM team.